I'm very pleased to be able to introduce Janie to you today, someone I'm pleased to count as a friend and also a member of my church. Janie's a remarkable person, really. She has many things, really. She is variously a singer, a musician, a radio broadcaster, a DJ. I will miss some things out here. Probably most importantly, a wife and mother of four, and now a writer. I mean, I feel very tired just being here. And this is her book, which she's going to be talking about. Very well worth buying. Janie's talked about this in our church, and I'm sure she'll be saying similar things to you this morning. She's done an immense amount of research on it. It really springs, I'm sure she'll explain, out of her role as a cosmic girl. It is cosmic girl, isn't it? Cosmic girl on Steve Wright's show on Radio 2. And so by popular demand, she wrote this book. As I say, very well researched, packed full of information. The people at St. Luke's who heard her just had to go and buy it because they just, you know, it's packed with email addresses and, you know, contacts and ideas and all kinds of things, really. It's a fantastic resource. And you've got the pleasure of having her stand before you today in all her beauty and wonder, and open up the book to you. I know that you're going to enjoy it, and that you'll want to go and buy the book if you haven't already got it. So I'd like you to give a very warm welcome, please, to Janie Lee Grace.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much, Dave. Thank you. That was a very nice introduction. I've got no idea who he's on about. The word imperfect is the title of my book, and it's just as well, because I can't tell you how imperfect I'm feeling right now. It's very, very nice of you to come, and I really was expecting about 10 people. So, consequently, I haven't done any preparation, but then they're normally the best talks. I've also had zero sleep for the last at least three nights, so those of you who are mothers and fathers will kind of understand that. It's, I mean, why? Why do we try and come to Greenbelt and kind of work and kind of fit in talks and all the rest of it with four kids under eight? It's slightly bonkers, isn't it, really? So anyway, it's absolutely lovely to be here. The book is called Imperfectly Natural Woman, and it's for men as well, pretty much all of it, apart from one tiny little bit in the book where I talk about feminine care, and I say, guys, just skip this bit, please. And I know that's the bit you'll read first anyway, so we'll get that out of the way. But the word imperfectly is the really important bit, because I am not an eco-warrior. I am not a health freak. I absolutely do not get everything right. I don't get very much right at all, actually. And I think that's where the success of the book, if there's been any, has really been in terms of the mainstream, because I think we all get bombarded, particularly now, with people telling us, you know, we must recycle, we must buy organic, we must buy local, we must use natural cleaning products, we must, we must, we must. And yes, they're absolutely right, we must. But most of us don't, or can't, or don't know where to start. And so then what we end up doing is nothing. And I didn't want to go that route either. And so I think that's, in a sense, where I've managed to kind of tap into something with this book. It wasn't intentional. It's just the way it worked out. I was, as Dave said, I've been working with Steve Wright in the afternoon for a long time. And yeah, I do kind of play that role of, you know, barking mad, natural cosmic girl, and he fades me out at every opportunity. But the interesting thing is that whenever something crops up in conversation and I say, oh, well, listen, you know, you don't want to be doing that. You don't want to be spraying different types of, you know, your Brute aftershave and then your Impulse deodorant. It's all complete mix of smells. You don't need that. Just stick on your natural deodorant or your Crystal deodorant and everything will be fine. And so he'll go, what? You nuts? You bonkers? Don't be stupid and fade me out. But then I'll get hundreds of emails from people saying, well, actually, I use one, but I'd like to know which one you use. Or people saying, I've got no idea what you're talking about, but I'm quite interested. And the same thing is applied over several things. If I've spoken about, you know, natural laundry, cleaning stuff, whatever, I often get these emails. So the reality has been I've been answering kind of hundreds of emails every day, and I thought, this is nuts. I may as well put it in a book. But I didn't feel really qualified to actually kind of write a book saying, here's what you must do, because, as I say, I just don't get everything right. With women particularly, I think often we kind of, maybe we'll set out on a diet, and we'll start off, and for the first kind of 5 or 6 days, it'll all go great. And then something will happen. Usually something will affect our emotions, and we'll feel quite miserable and depressed. And then we won't go and have one Jaffa cake. We'll have 5 packets. And then after that, we'll say, right, that's it. I'm obviously crap and useless. I'm never going to go on a diet again. And And that was the thing I wanted to kind of try and overcome. And so my message is so clear. It is, right, here's what we should be doing, although I hate the word should, but here's the kind of opportunities, if you want to use them. But small changes will make a big difference, that phrase that everybody's using at the moment. The global footprint word that everybody's using, you know, your carbon footprint. All of these things are the cliches. But the reality is, in your own life, if there's one thing that you can do to make a change that's really easy, will probably save you money and will probably make you either healthier or look better, and possibly all of those, just do that. Just do that one. But the chances are that when you've done that one, you'll think, well, that's interesting. That really worked, and that saved me a few bob, and I feel really quite smug that I've saved the environment a bit. So what's the next chapter? You know, maybe I'll do something else. And I think that's been the kind of the reality of it. I did an interview with Johnny Walker. The book, by the way, is with a very tiny publisher. And so they really hadn't got the resources to promote it. And, of course, working on the BBC, the words Jane Lee Grayson book are not allowed to be in the same sentence, because that would be blatant self-promotion. So I physically can't mention the fact that I've written a book on Steve's show, which is tremendously frustrating, as I'm sure you can imagine. And there was almost zero publicity for the book. So I became sort of slightly mad and thinking, right, I've absolutely got to do something here. So I actually asked Johnny Walker if I could go on his show. And fortunately, because he's a very big fan of all of this stuff, he said yes, and I did that show, and they'd never had so many calls or emails. Not because it was me, it's nothing to do with me at all. You know, they've had very famous people, film stars and all the rest of it. But what I was talking to everybody about was, okay, here's where you get the exact, you know, crystal deodorant you need. Here's where you buy soap nuts, you know, and more about that in a minute. And so they'd never had so many phone calls and emails because people were saying, well, where do I find out about this stuff? Because I want to do that. Or maybe it's somebody listening. We're talking very mainstream here. We're talking people from all walks of life, from truck drivers to film stars. And some of them, I'm sure, were thinking, listen, I don't particularly care about the environment. I'm not going to go down that eco-warrior trip. And I'm quite happy with what I'm eating. So, you know, you can shut up about organic food, love. However, my little boy's got eczema. And we've tried the steroid creams, and they haven't worked. And we've tried all the commercial preparations that I've bought over the counter. And I've tried everything I've been prescribed. What do I do now? You know, I may as well try what this woman's going on about. And so I think that's how quite often these things can start. I should just tell you briefly what's in the book. I try and cover everything, really. The word is holistic, and I really don't like the word, but I can't think of another one that really does mean absolutely everything. So it's, you know, it is everything. It's what you put on your skin, because I think sometimes we forget that what you put on your skin is also ingested into your system. Of course it's what you eat and drink. It's what you clean your house with. It's what your furnishings are made from. It's what you do your washing with. It's what's going on in your head. There's, you know, the mind and the spirit matter as well. Just to tell you briefly how I got into all of this, because as I say, I'm really not an expert. I mean, as Dave said, I started out as a singer and kind of radio and stuff like that. Certainly nothing to do with health or nutrition. But it was years and years ago, and I'm really going to show my age now, because I first kind of even thought about anything to do with anything other than probably sex and drugs and rock and roll, when Edwina Curry delivered a message about the eggs. If anybody else is as ancient as me, you'll remember that. I mean, who'd have thought you'd come to Greenbelt and hear that name? Several of my friends were vegetarians, and I wasn't a vegetarian, but I didn't eat a lot of meat, but I ate chicken particularly. And she brought out this, you know, real, everyone, she scared the life out of everybody about not eating eggs and not eating chicken specifically. And I remember thinking, well, I may as well stop then, you know, for a while. She managed to scare me. So I stopped eating meat. And the difference in my energy levels was just, I couldn't believe it. It was really strange. I hadn't been ill before then, but I suppose I just had minor digestive upsets and stuff and just not necessarily felt great all the time. But the difference in me was incredible within about 2 weeks. Now, I don't say in the book that you need to be vegetarian, by the way. I'm not saying, that's not my message. Although I do say if you eat meat, you know, preferably kind of know your cow and personally feed your chicken is what I say. But I don't say everyone needs to be vegetarian. But for me, it made a very big difference, and I could really sense the difference in my body. So then I started to think, well, if that's the effect that just food has on me, what else am I doing? What else might be affecting me? And that was the first time I'd ever considered it, to be honest with you. And that's when I started looking at treatments, and I think I had my first aromatherapy massage when I was feeling really ill. And I'm not talking kind of popping along to a beauty parlor and kind of being fiddled about with a bit of smelly scent. I'm talking a serious healing treatment here. because I do think there's a difference. And I came out feeling so much better. I then started to look into nutritional stuff, vitamins and minerals, and so it all progressed. And then literally, and this is a real, you know, kind of embarrassing thing to have to admit, I was the most selfish person on the planet, and I did not even consider anything vaguely green until my first child was born, and he's only nearly eight. I mean, how you know, embarrassing and imperfect is that? But that's the truth, because I was absolutely wrapped up in myself, I suppose, and it didn't occur to me until I had my first baby that I might possibly want to leave a bit of the planet behind. So the truth is that I'm still only, you know, lime green compared to probably most of you in here. And certainly Greenbelt has really, I think, made a fantastic effort this year. It's, you know, it's really foremost on the agenda, the whole environmental thing. So that's fantastic. But I still think that what we need to do is marry the two things together, because I still meet a tremendous amount of people who are very green, and they, you know, they absolutely recycle everything, and they really care about everything to do with the environment. I've got lots of friends who have convinced me to use real nappies, and I now use real nappies. That took me till my third baby to get that together. You know, that's how imperfect I am. But I now use cloth nappies. And I have friends who are into all of this stuff, really big time. But then you'll turn around, and they're stuffing something into the child's mouth at a rate of knots and slapping on chemical-laden sunscreen, and you think, oh, wait a minute, it's fantastic that you care about the environment, but care about your own, you know, you care about yourself from within as well, because it is the holistic picture that's the really important thing. I know I haven't got very long, and it's really important to me that you get to ask questions, but if there's a, you know, the book covers so many things, I can't talk about it all, but if there's a particular area that anybody kind of just wants me to touch on, just yell out and I'll go down that direction, and if not, I'll just carry on waffling, because as you probably noticed, I can talk for England even on zero sleep. Skincare, okay, right. My message very briefly is you do not need very expensive moisturizers, makeup. Well, makeup's a slightly different issue. We'll leave that for a second. But you certainly do not need expensive moisturizers, bath products, the works. Full stop, you don't need them. Most people do need to moisturize their skin and to rehydrate their skin. Although not everybody. I also have a friend who simply does nothing and her skin is fantastic. I think she's quite lucky. It obviously depends on your skin type as well. Remind me to get onto hair washing as well in a second. But when it comes to skincare, you know, top tip, the cheapest, best moisturizer you will ever find is a tub of coconut oil. Don't get confused with cocoa butter that you'll buy in the chemist or in the body shop or whatever. Coconut oil that you can buy in Asian food stores. You can get a much kind of, well, slightly more expensive version. You're talking £2 a jar, that's it, and it'll last you for ages. It's good enough to eat. The theory that says don't put anything on your skin that you wouldn't eat absolutely applies here, because you can eat it, because that's what it's for. It's also a really amazing food supplement, by the way, although I must admit it makes me gag. But if you can get it down, it's meant to be fantastic for making, seriously, it's fantastic for making you lose weight. It really is, because it's lauric acid. I told you I'm imperfect. Yeah, makes you lose weight because you're chucking up all the time. No, honestly, it's not. No, that's not the case. It's not the case. People who take it as a food supplement take 2 spoonfuls a day. And you can have it on stuff, and you can have it in curries, and you can cook with it. And it's the most amazing oil, because if you haven't seen coconut oil, it solidifies. When it's cold, it solidifies. So you literally need to scoop it out the jar, and it looks like a lump of lard. And you think, what am I going to do? That's disgusting. But you just kind of rub your hands together, and it immediately becomes oil. And it's instantly drying. It doesn't stain. It's the best moisturizer you will ever find. Trust me. I don't know anyone it hasn't worked for. If you find the type you buy isn't pure enough, in inverted commas, then you can get virgin coconut oil. And I hugely recommend one that's one of the cheapest of the virgin ones. It's from Sri Lanka. The guy who brought it over, it's so fair trade, he built the factory. for them to prepare it. And since my book's been out and I've recommended him, it's doing so well that he gives £2 from every sale back to the Sri Lankan project and has already built another kind of workshop. It's amazing what's going on. And the address for that one is coconoil.com. So it's C-O-C-O-N-O-I-L. coconoil.com or .co.uk? One or the other. All the addresses and everything are in the book. So I really hugely recommend that for skincare. On hair washing for a sec, you can also rehydrate your hair with coconut oil. You can use it as a conditioner. But the hair washing thing is interesting because I talk in the book about people who never wash their hair. Now, again, I would love to try this, but I'm way too imperfect because I would just look like a rat. I can't go there. But I have got friends who've got the most luscious hair. They never, ever wash it. And the theory is your hair gets kind of past that stage and then starts to look glossy again. Look at dogs. You don't go for them with the two-in-one, do you? But mostly they've got a luscious, silky coat. And, it, you know, people do, because the shampoo that you're buying, most people, the shampoos they're buying, along with the skincare products, are absolutely laden with petrochemical byproducts. They're full of it. They're full of parabens, which are the preservatives used to basically carry it into your skin. You absolutely do not need any of them. They are really bad for you. Now, I'm not daft enough here to stand here and say, you know, skincare products, shampoos, perfumes, air fresheners, cleaning products, any of that stuff are going to give you cancer. What I will say is the accumulative effect of all of those potentially toxic chemicals around your home, in your body, in your environment could very well make you ill in one way or another. It might be very mild. You might just have a rash. You might just have a headache. You might just have less energy. You might get cancer. You'll never know, will you? You'll never know what you're going to trace it back to. So my theory is, you know, as your insurance policy, if it's cheaper anyway, if it's better for the environment anyway, if it's available anyway, easily, then why not give it a try? You've got absolutely nothing to lose. The really good news is that since I started doing research for the book, the amount of companies that are now producing very natural products has grown hugely, and that's something I'm really thrilled about. I mean, the book, by the way, I'm not on commission for anything, for anybody. So that's I think, another thing that why I've managed to succeed a bit in this area is because I am totally neutral. And the things I recommend in the book are the things I've used or colleagues and friends of mine. The book has 17 what I call imperfectly natural people in there, men and women from all different walks of life. And they tell you what they do. And it's fantastic having a nose at that. It's the best bit of the book, really, because, you know, you turn up a page and it'll say Simon, and it's he runs a vegan guest house in St. Ives in Cornwall. And it'll say, what do you have for breakfast? And he'll say, millet or something with pineapple, you know, and then what do you do for exercise? Oh, run on the beach. And what do you use for cleaning? You know, totally natural, lemon juice, whatever. And by the time you get to the bottom, honestly, girls, you just want to marry him. He's just the most perfect man you could ever wish to imagine. And then thank God at the bottom, you know, you say, okay, are you imperfectly natural? Have you got a guilty secret? And he says, yes, I drink far too much red wine, brackets organic, and have the occasional fag. And you think, well, thank God, because otherwise I can't bear how perfect you are. But it is great because you get to find out what everybody else sticks under their armpits and, you know, uses when they're feeling down and what they give their kids when they're unwell and what they have in their natural medicine cabinet and what they wear and whether they buy fair trade clothes. And it helps everyone to put it in perspective because, you know, another cliche is that word journey, isn't it? But we all are at a different stage. And the bit where you want to start on this path may not be the same as the place that I've got to. That's why in the book I say, if at any point when you're reading any of this, you start to feel a bit guilty, like it's all a bit getting a bit anal and you can't bear it anymore, just leave it, move on, and go to another bit, because the chances are you might want to come back to that section at some other time. When it comes to makeup, by the way, just touching on makeup for a second for the girls, obviously in an ideal world, you know, you don't need to wear any. That's fantastic. Unfortunately, I look like Winnie the Pooh without makeup. Can't even think about it. I look awful. So I have to wear makeup. And it's only in the last few months that I've managed to find a totally synthetic chemical-free makeup bag. I can't say organic. Lots of the products are organic, Soil Association accredited. Lots aren't, because there'll be just a few ingredients that they can't source. But they are. But at least they don't have in them perfumes, artificial musks and fragrances, parabens, lead. I mean, most lipstick you buy has got lead in it, even now. So I've finally managed to source makeup that doesn't include that stuff, which I'm delighted about. Just a quick word on laundry stuff, because I am very proud to be the woman that's brought balls and nuts to the nation. And we're talking laundry balls and soap nuts. And laundry balls I've been using for years. I must have been one of the first people to buy them about 15, 20 years ago. And it's very interesting with laundry balls because they're very cheap. They're talking maybe a tenner for a pack of two, and you need to put two in your washing machine. If anyone doesn't know what they are, they're balls, basically, like the kind of things you buy washing powder in sometimes, just little balls, but they kind of have a rubberized casing, and they've got in them pellets, ionized pellets, which they tell me, I'm not scientific, but they tell me when they come into contact with the water, they change the molecular structure, which is a very good word, write it down, somebody. And they actually work. Now, if you want sparkling, bright, white shirts, then you would need to maybe soak them first in a bit of bicarbonate soda and then stick them in the washing machine. But laundry balls actually work. And years ago when I first got into these, I went to the supermarket and amazingly I found a pack of laundry balls in a regular supermarket. So I was delighted. So I was telling everybody, oh, go buy these. You know, these are great. And this, you know, obviously it works out. Well, you can't equate the difference in price. You're talking 10 quid for, I don't know, 160, 170 washers, maybe more. You know, I mean, it can last you 6-7 months, depending on how often you do your washing. So, I mean, if you compare that to your regular detergents. And then all of a sudden, they mysteriously disappeared from the supermarket shelves. And the guy at that time who was running the company who was selling me the laundry balls actually told me, he said, well, these supermarkets won't have it. The big conglomerates can't really allow us to sell them because the people that operate, you know, the people that sell into the supermarkets, the detergents and the fabric softeners also own most of the chocolate bars and cereals. And, well, they don't like it, do they? Like, why would they? So you'll no longer find them in the supermarkets. The other thing is nuts. Soap nuts are just an absolute wonder of nature. They are a totally renewable resource because they grow on trees. They've used them in India and Nepal for thousands of years for washing and for laundry. And that you literally buy a bag. You used to have to buy the actual shells, so I'd have to have the kids there cracking them with a hammer and be ready to go to casualty when they get their finger. But you can now buy shells, soap nut shells, and you just need 6 or 7 in a little muslin bag or a sock will do. Stick them in your drum, and when the soap nut shells come into contact with water, they release saponin, which is soap. And by the way, they're nothing to do with the nut family. So if anybody's thinking nut allergies, obviously don't eat them anyway, but you don't have to worry if you have a nut allergy. Because interestingly enough, they're not really a nut, they're a berry. But that's a factoid for another day. safe to say, all you need to know is they work. They work fantastically well. You can also make a soap nut solute. I'm starting to sound a bit barking mad, aren't I? Do you know, sometimes I stop and I listen to myself. I've gone nuts. Righty's absolutely right. I have actually gone mad. It's just I am so passionate about this stuff because, you know, I'm a very bossy person. And if I really believe in something, I really want everybody else to as well. And you're more than welcome to just say, no, I'm not interested. But there probably will be some bits you will be interested in simply for the fact that I'm going to save you an awful lot of money, if nothing else. So anyway, soap nuts, you buy a 1 kilogram bag for about 6 quid or something, you know, next to nothing. 5 or 6 soap nuts in a little bag or a sock, stick them in your washing machine, and they will last you for 5 or 6 washers. And then you chuck them on the compost. I mean, how green is that? So, and you can also make solution. That's what I was going to tell you. You can boil them up, simmer them on your little hob. It looks disgusting. It looks kind of all brown and foamy and horrible. But you can use a hand blender and whisk it up. Trust me, I'm no domestic goddess. But it makes the best shampoo you will ever find. You can also use it to clean your car and clean your bath. For general cleaning, it's old-fashioned, isn't it? The amount of people that call me cosmic and new age makes me hoot with laughter. I am the most old-style person I've ever come across. You know, everything I do is old-style. It's completely old-style. I just talk lemon juice, vinegar. I would have a nice trendy microfiber cloth, an e-cloth preferably. And that's all you need. Bicarbonate of soda on an e-cloth with a drop of tea tree oil will clean just about anything. And if you want it to sparkle, lemon juice will do the trick. You don't need very much else. You know, there's a few other tricks. Your soda crystals, and obviously you can buy obviously there are lots of brands now who are making this stuff. If you want to just spray something or buy something, no problem. I've got a whole load of companies in the book, small companies that are actually not even flying the stuff in. Because that's the other thing. If you want to consider the air miles, it's all very well buying, you know, I can't remember what they're called, John Lewis's range, is it called Method? But it's flown in from the States. So if you want to, you know, it'd be a little bit more green, buy something that's made here. There's a company called Natural Clean. Their products are fantastic, totally, you know, toxic chemical free. You have to remember, of course, when it comes to cleaning products, you're not just doing this to save money. You're doing this, obviously, to help with irritation on your skin, but majorly for the environment, that bit. You know, even I, in my lack of greenness, can really see that if I'm sticking Persil down the drain every single day, well, where's it going to go? What's in it and where's it going to go? Why is it so potentially toxic? Not singling out Persil, but any chemical detergents. Once you know that there is a natural alternative to just about everything, my thing is, well, if you can find out where to get it, then use it. I must let you ask some questions because I'm going to run out of time. And if anybody does want to ask questions, I'd much rather go with what you're interested in. Antiperspirant, right, okay, one of my favourite topics. There's probably lots of people in this room who use natural deodorants, and we don't smell, do we? Basically, this is one of my favourite topics because I don't think anybody needs to use a regular deodorant. There is absolutely no reason for anyone to need to use a deodorant that's got perfumes in it and parabens and petrochemicals. You don't need it. You absolutely do not need it. It's terrible for the environment if it's an aerosol. It's, you know, extremely bad for your skin in an area which is, well, particularly for women, probably for guys as well, very sensitive area around those lymph nodes if you're sticking it on your armpit. So I would say the first change you can make is get a natural deodorant, and there's loads of different types now. You can get a crystal deodorant, which is potassium alum. So you want one that's free from aluminium chlorohydrate, which is the, some say, potentially scary form of aluminium. So you want one free from aluminium chlorohydrate. Usually they're made from potassium alum, and they come in the form of the purest, just a stone. So there's no packaging, so you don't have to be worrying about that. They'll cost you about £3 or £4, and they will last you up to a year. Now, somebody give me a reason why you're better off going and spending £7 on a deodorant. There's no reason, and they really do work. They leave a fine layer of mineral salts on your skin, which stops bacteria forming, because as we all know, it's not really the sweat that smells, it's when it comes into contact with other stuff that creates the bacteria. The other form of natural deodorant, and they come in a spray as well, by the way, if you do want to go that route, in a pump spray. The other natural deodorant is a stainless steel stick, believe it or not. And, you know, I've only just got that, and I am, the jury's still out for me on that, because I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to buy a stainless steel stick in the form of like a roll-on, I'm wondering whether I could just use my flask. I don't know. I just thought of that the other day. I thought, but I mean, I've just been mean because it's £20, but then it lasts you for life, so it's still not expensive, is it? And they also make Himalaya. I'm always going on about Himalaya salt. They make Himalaya salt as well in the form of deodorants. It's the same. It's the same principle as mineral salts. So does that sort it for you? Good. There's all the companies are listed in the book. By the way, if I just say one thing about the book, as I say, it's a very small publishing company, and I'm not making a lot of money out of it, trust me. This is a labour of love for me. But what I have found, and I'm only telling you this because it's easy to get here, is that people have got so many things on Amazon, so many emails from people who've said, this book has completely changed my life because there's all these fantastic tips in it. And I now buy it as a present for people because sharing this information is great. And if you've already got the book, just all I'd say is because they're at Greenbelt, think about if you need a Christmas present, think now. Because I can still remember the girl who told me about coconut oil. I can still remember the girl who told me about light therapy boxes. I'm always going on about those as well. Anybody who works nights, you won't find anything better than a light therapy box. It's the most incredible thing for reviving you and giving you just a tiny bit of... I know it's not natural, it's synthetic, but it's the best you can do at 3 a.m. when you've got a show. But I can still remember that every single time I switch that light therapy box on, I think, oh, thank you so much to Eileen for telling me about it. And so it's actually a really nice gift because you're sharing this information with somebody else. It's also very nice for people who really don't care about anything to do with natural living or the environment. It's a very good way to start because you're starting from being very, very general without beating yourself up, really. That's my message. Does anybody else want to ask about anything else? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This lady's talking about the effect of electricity in your home and, well, it's another whole seminar, isn't it? Bringing down bills, reducing power, reducing energy. I mean, you can find out lots about that around the site, obviously. I would absolutely pick up on your point about, you know, bedrooms. I say in the book, bedrooms are for sleep and sex, and that's it. And if you've got to have your clothes in there, well, stick your clothes in there. You know, in an ideal world, we'd all have huge mansions with a separate walk-in closet. But, you know, if you've got your clothes, fine. What you don't need in your bedroom is your telly or your computer or actually anything electrical. The only electrical thing I've got is one of those Sunray alarm clocks because they're just beautiful because you wake up to this kind of, you know, kind of Sunray effect rather than those cockerel-like alarm things that go off. But you really do need to reduce the amount of electromagnetic frequencies around your field, if you like, particularly when you sleep. That's when you restore yourself. And, you know, you really do not need, you know, you do not need anything switched on when you sleep. In an ideal world, you reduce the electricity completely at night time, particularly near kids. Don't let kids sleep in a room where you've got, you know, computers next to them and stuff. It's just a real bad idea. In the book, I talk about the best Christmas I ever had, where I went to Wales to stay with a friend, and there was a power cut at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Complete power cut. We actually saw the lines go down in the wind, and we thought, oh wow, what do we do now? And we went to the local church. It was a candlelit mass, and then we came back and we just lit a candle, and then we went to bed and we thought it'll all be fine tomorrow. The next day it wasn't. There was absolutely no power whatsoever, and I had the best Christmas I'd ever had. I had 3 days with just cooking baked potatoes or whatever we had on an open fire and just making do. And, you know, it was, I mean, we had a bottle of champagne, that probably helped. So me being imperfect. But we had no power, and it was one of the, and you know why? It was not just the fun element because it was different. It really was because I didn't have stuff buzzing around my head all the time, because I spend my whole life surrounded by electricity, whether it's at work in the studio or at home where, we've got a ton of appliances. When you sleep without electricity as much as you possibly can. Anybody else? We've got time for another couple of questions. Yes.
We buy a lot of Ecover.
Ecover, yeah.
They're
Ecover, a fantastic company. Yeah, they're one of the greenest companies around, actually. They've got one of the greenest buildings in Germany that you'll ever find. Totally eco-friendly team, eco-cars, eco-everything. It gets expensive, though. That's the only thing. Some people want to kind of... Oh, do you? Good for you. Yeah. Where do you go to get them refilled? This guy's just saying he gets, if anyone can't hear, he gets them refilled. Do you take them to a store to do that?
Manningtree
in Essex. There you go. You see, that's the other thing that my book has done. It's actually created networks of people. I must say at this point, I've got a forum on my website, which is just one of the most exciting things that's happened. It's nothing to do with me. It's just a bunch of people who've all just got off on one, really, sharing information. It's been amazing. It's just imperfectlynaturalwoman.co.uk. Sign on and join the forum and post a message or pick up info. It's a brilliant resource for exchanging information and finding out about things in your local area, where you can get bargains, what really works, you know, have a good old argument on there about what you think. But yes, Ecover, I think, a really great company. I use lots of their stuff. It just becomes a bit expensive. And sometimes I notice when a lot of people will say to me, okay, it's all very well for you talking about living naturally and buying organic food and this, that, and the other. You know, maybe you're rolling in money. I'm not. I'm living on tax credits, and I can't afford to live that way. And my answer would be, yes, it is more expensive in some areas. In some areas, it isn't. When it comes to food, buy locally. Get locally sourced organic if you can. Get a box delivery scheme. An organic box vegetable delivery scheme delivered to your door. You can make a load of meals in a week out of that with just adding pulses and pasta and all the rest of it. Some things are more expensive. When you buy organic skincare products, if you want a really beautiful natural perfume, yes, it will be. Actually, it won't be more expensive than regular perfume, but yes, it will cost a bit of money. So what I say is save money on the things where you actually don't need to spend anything at all. So for some people, if you're on a budget, you can actually live without Ecover products because you can pretty much do everything yourself. But yes, if you just want the convenience of a bottle, Ecover are fantastic. Natural Cleaner, another one. BioD are another company you make great washing up liquids. Some you have to look at the companies because some of the stuff's flown in from a long way, some isn't. Anybody else? Yes.
Are there any airlines
right. That's an interesting question. Any airlines that are more environmentally sound? Well, you might maybe need to speak to the government about that one in terms of having a look at fuel. I mean, fuel generally is, you know, where do you start down that route? I honestly don't know. They asked me to do something on BBC Breakfast last week where there was some big argument about 4x4s. You know, they want to ban 4x4s and all the rest of it. Again, on this one, I'm completely imperfect. I mean, I don't drive a 4x4. I don't need to. I don't believe you necessarily need a Chelsea tractor. You don't need it in Chelsea. However, I've got a mate who lives in Cornwall who, without a 4x4, won't get to her door. You know, so it's as simple as that. But my thing is, I would like to see us all, even if it's only in our minds, have a kind of pot, if you like, of energy. And we can spend that how we like, but we're rationed as to the amount we use. So if you want to fly to Australia, you know, then just look at your kind of pot, if you like, over the course of a year and think, do you know what? I think I've blown my share of the pot there, and I'm going to walk to work the rest of the time. You know, it's a very simplistic equation, but we aren't going to stop people flying. It would be very interesting if the government had a total and utter rethink on fuel and maybe even stopped thinking of it, you know, in terms of taxes and started thinking in terms of, you know, biofuels and all the rest of it, but doing it properly. I've got lots of friends who run their tanks on biofuel, but most people don't know where to go. It's like, where do you start? It's such a new area. Perfectly possible there. Anybody else? The back here? Yeah? Right at the back? They work brilliantly for nappies. For cloth nappies or, cloth menstrual pads or whatever, you don't actually want to use synthetic chemical detergents. They're really bad. They're not good for the material. You certainly don't want to use fabric softener on nappies. So laundry balls or soap nuts are the best thing you can possibly use for nappies. For any whitewashing, when you need to dry it, by the way, obviously the best way to get it white again, if it's a bit stained, is just stick it outside and stick a bit of lemon juice on it in the sunshine, if you've got any sunshine. On that note, by the way, me being old style, the other thing I mentioned in the book that a few people have really picked up on, which is very funny, is I talk about, you know, how we were all sold this line years and years ago about tumble dryers and how marvelous and reverse action they are. And they drive me nearly mad. They use, you know, it takes 2 hours and your stuff is still not dry. And so when I had a really busy Christmas time and I had a few people staying, I had to do like a complete changeover of laundry. And I went to a junk shop and I found an old-fashioned spin dryer, like the kind of thing, you know, your mum or your grandma would have, and you press the top down, you know, like a bit like we have in gyms now. And I went and bought this. It was 15 quid. And I thought, well, it's obviously not going to work. And I used my washing machine, which is a 1400 spin, so it comes out fairly dry anyway. Took the washing out, the 1400 spin, whatever it was. And it was, you know, obviously way too wet to put on the bed. If I'd have put it in the tumble dryer at that point, it would have needed an hour and a half to be dry. I stuck it in the spin dryer and I, you know, pressed the thing down, and no gags about Desperate Housewives. So I'm pressing this thing on and it's all vibrating wildly. And I'm thinking, well, nothing's happening. I'm looking at this pipe, there's nothing happening. And then I waited a couple of seconds, and out it pours, this torrent of water. So you're thinking, well, so what's the 1400 spin done then? And when it came out, this spin dryer, 2-3 minutes later, it was almost dry enough to put on the bed. I couldn't believe it. It just needed to be aired for another, I don't know, a few minutes really, or stuck in the tumble dryer for 5 minutes as opposed to an hour and a half. So incredibly green. And yet, you know, if you say to your gran or your mum, you know, why did you get rid of your spin dryer? They'll go, oh, do you know, I wish I hadn't. You know, why do we all get so newfangled and high tech? Anybody else want to ask anything? Yes. On a light box, light therapy boxes. Yeah, light therapy boxes were designed originally for people who suffer from SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And they are a box or a lamp. They come in all sorts of forms now. You can even get actual light bulbs. And it's full spectrum lighting. So it's apparently regular light bulbs give out, I think it's something like, light is measured in lux. I'm sure the people who know far more than I know about this. It's measured in lux, and they give out 400 lux. But actually, what we need is closer to 10,000. So that's why when you're feeling depressed or even just a bit miserable or even just slightly fed up, you take a walk in the fresh air, particularly if there's some sun out, and it totally lifts your spirits. It actually does something to you because, well, you're getting vitamin D, obviously, from the sunshine. But just the light alone, we need the light. It really affects our hormone balance. So the way the light box works is it tries to recreate daylight. and it's called Full Spectrum Lighting. And I got one when I was doing overnight shows, 6 days a week overnight shows, absolute killer. And on the Sunday, I was doing a TV show. And I saw a nutritionist, and I was speaking to her generally about how I was going to keep myself well, because it was a winter period and I was lots of traveling. And I just thought, all I need now is to go down with a cold and the game's up. And she spoke to me about keeping up levels of vitamin C and looking at zinc and obviously being careful what I ate. But then I said to her, okay, if I can only do one thing through this really, you know, difficult period, what would it be? She said, if you can only do one thing, get a light box. It cost me about 90 quid. This was an awful long time ago. I've never needed to change the bulb, amazingly enough, and I've used it every time I've done an early show. And you don't have to sit in front of it. It's not like a kind of sunray lamp or anything. If I was standing here with it on, I would just have it at the edge of that table, so a couple of feet away from where you're standing. And you don't have to stare at it. You just do what you're doing. Have your breakfast, make a phone call, whatever. Write a letter. You can potter about. You can get them that go onto your computer as well. Pod lights, I think they're called. And the benefit, it's incredible. You honestly will feel it. It's absolutely amazing. I could feel it giving me a kind of buzz, a kind of energy lift within about 20 minutes of this being on. I mean, astronauts use them. So that would have been another career. So air stewards use them because it just regulates that little bit in our brain that needs light. So I would recommend them for anybody who feels down in the winter. Just if you just feel yourself getting really miserable on dark days, get a light box. It's a fantastic investment. That's not as cheap as a deodorant at 3 quid, but it will last you a long time. And obviously if you suffer from SAD, then well obviously you'll know about them anyway. Fantastic for anyone with depression. I've had a lot of emails from people who've said to me, thank you for recommending that, the light box you talk about in the book. I had one email from a guy who said, my wife has suffered from depression for years. She's tried everything, drugs, everything. It never really changes. She's had the light box and I've seen a real change in her in 4 days. So, you hear some real miracle stories. Anybody else? Yes. Okay, well, very briefly, in terms of my faith, I'm imperfect just about as much as I am in everything else, really. I became a Christian a long, long time ago when I was a kid, not because my parents are Christians, just because I think I heard a terrifying sermon and just thought, hell, that's where I'm going unless I do something right now. And basically my faith has been one where God has kind of held on to me, really, rather than me making much of an effort. I really do believe that. And I think God has kind of met me wherever I'm at. So when I was touring with pop groups like Wham and stuff, I had no church to speak of. I had no support. But somehow I was brought back into a church like St. Luke's in London, which was then part of the Greenbelt Festival. So I suppose God got back to me, or held on to me, if you like, through my first love, which was music. And then I started presenting a gospel show on the radio. And so it's been a kind of, rocky relationship, to say the least. But I've held, my faith is incredibly important to me. But as I say, I'm imperfect. And I absolutely do not hold myself up as any kind of an example there. People sometimes say to me, I sometimes get emails saying, how can you call yourself a Christian if you're not evangelizing on the radio? And I'll say, well, if my loo needs fixing, I'm going to call a plumber. It's fantastic if he's a Christian. That's absolutely great. I'm really pleased he's a Christian, but I still need the loo fixing. That's his gig, and my job is to speak on the radio. And if someone asks me, which, interestingly enough, they often do, and that's where it becomes interesting. I'm not the one trying to start the conversation, but I'm sure you'll all know from whichever walk of life you're in, you might be thinking, you might be a new Christian. You might be thinking, last thing I want to do is start trying to preach to other people. And then you'll go into the staff room at work or the coffee shop or the pub, and, while you're thinking of something else completely, someone will say to you, what's your view on, life, the universe and everything? And on the one hand, you've got a little, good fairy saying, it's your opportunity. You can, like, convert everyone here and tell everyone all the things you're thinking. And on the other shoulder, you've got someone saying, you nuts? You're not doing anything right yourself. You're going to try and start telling everyone else? And that's what it's like for me on the radio, because radio is not television. It's live. It's not scripted. You can't go back and do it again. So what comes out of your mouth is said and done. And that's very scary. But in terms of how it links to any of this, well, it doesn't, other than that it's the holistic picture. And so I think, you know, I mean, I talk about that in the book. You can't talk about the holistic picture unless you bring in your mind and your faith. And that's really important to me. I do respect that it's different for other people, but I still think it's the holistic picture, and you have to address what's going on in your head as well as your body. I do, however, believe, though, if Jesus were walking the earth at the moment, he'd definitely be using soap nuts. Probably ship them in, actually. Anybody else before we finish? Now who do I choose? Somebody else choose. Right at the back there. Yes. Hair colour. Yeah, what do I use? Well, Imperfect told me I'm a natural blonde. However, I have a bit of help. No, I am a natural blonde, but it still gets really dark as you get older. Does anybody else find that, or is it just me? I hate that. So for highlights, I go to a guy called Daniel Field, who has more natural hair colours. I can't say they're 100% natural, but he uses a seaweed lightener, and he uses plant-based chemicals, so I don't use any bleach. Be really careful when it comes to hair colour. It's a really nasty one. You know, hair colour, if I could have my time again, I would never have used regular hair colour. It's very, very bad news. Again, there's lots of ranges now. There's Herbatint, there's Lagona is one of the best ranges of hair colour if you want to do your hair at home. One more question, and then I think they're going to tell us to be quiet. Sorry? Oh, we've got 10 minutes. Oh, fantastic. Okay. Yes. Oh, how do I find the work-life balance? I don't. I absolutely don't. All the balls are not in the air. It's absolutely impossible, to be honest with you. I think that... I do try and take on too much. I'm extremely lucky in that I have a very supportive husband who works from home. So we're able to do a lot of the childcare between us. And the rest of the time, we kind of just mumble on through. It's been an incredibly manic period because I'm trying to write a second book. I'm trying to promote this book. I'm trying to answer queries from people. I'm trying to continue to do research. There's too much going on, to be honest. And I do find that kind of work-life balance very, very difficult. I think the bottom line is trying to find time to be kind to yourself. I sometimes forget that. And you sometimes do need to recharge your own batteries. And so for me, that's just a walk by the sea, which is not easy in Hertfordshire, but if I can get to the sea, that's my only solace, really. Is there any other areas of the book that anybody, if you don't necessarily want to ask a question, is anybody, anything that anybody else wants me to pick up on? Just briefly. Yes, at the back. Bleach. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I've managed to remove it completely. You can allegedly get a slightly more a natural, in inverted commas, bleach. I think it's called Heather. I think you'd have to check it out. I think I've got it in the book, but I can't be bothered with it. I don't think, you know, you don't need it. If you want to clean your loo, you know, the first thing you have to do is kind of remove the water, which is horribly messy and vile. But if you get a plunger, you know, you can just about do it. Remove some of the excess water. And at the end of the day, it's the old-fashioned elbow grease. You know, it's so old style, but rubber gloves and, you know, vinegar and bicarbonate soda will do most things. For antibacterial stuff, I use tea tree oil for everything. I buy a job lot of tea tree oil, and you will never need to go near a bottle of Dettol ever again. You can use it for everything. You can put it on surfaces. You can put it in your loo. Just about everything. You can use it as an air freshener in a little plant spray with some water and a couple of drops of essential oil. And it does the job. Anybody else? Eczema, yeah. Yeah, I do. Well, when it comes to skin irritations generally, I think you have to look at what the diet is, because it can very often be diet related, although not always. I think often they usually say with eczema, you have to look at dairy and you have to look at wheat. So if you can, it's worth avoiding them for a little while just to see if it makes any difference. As a rule, I think most of us should aim for less dairy if we can, and you know, if you're going to have wheat, have something like spelt, which is an ancient grain, but you know, it tastes fantastic, or at least make it kind of, just limit your amount. You know, I'm speaking very generally here. I don't know your circumstances, but with irritated skin, it's almost always what you're putting on it that will have an effect. Yes, it is partly from within. You need to drink water, but you also need to look at what you're putting on your skin. I'll give you an example of my nephew, who's got typical kind of teenage acne. He's 14, 15. And, you know, my sister said to me, what the hell am I going to do? You know, he just looks a fright and doesn't even want to go out. And I said, well, try this. And for starters, he stopped drinking fizzy drinks. That's the first thing. Cut that out completely. Cut down pastries and all that nonsense and ate a bit more healthily. He drank twice as much water as he'd been drinking. So that was the from within bit, if you like. And then what he did was recognize that he was washing his hair every day in the shower, every morning, with a really, you know, powerful, in inverted commas, shampoo. And what he's forgetting was all of that stuff was dripping down his face. So that's affecting his skin. Then he was looking at what he was putting on it, and it was one of the kind of commercial preparations for teenagers with acne. So my theory on that would be you're actually putting more nonsense on your skin than you need. So I said, just for a period of a week or so, cut out all the sugar and stuff from the diet, drink loads of water, wash your face in really hot water with clean flannels. I said to my sister, buy like 10 or 15 flannels so you can use a different flannel morning and night. Really hot. Wash your face with water, no soap, nothing. And in the morning, dab on neat tea tree oil. And at night time, because he's a guy and he probably, you know, doesn't want to go out whiffing of lavender, neat lavender. And it was incredible. It had gone within 10 days, almost completely. I mean, that very simplistic approach doesn't work for everybody. Of course it doesn't. And if it's eczema, that's different again. With eczema, the best thing I've ever found, certainly for babies and children, is something called essential pre-wash and shower oil. It's hard to remember all these names. It's in the book on the skin section. And it's made by the Sensitive Skincare Company, who's basically one woman in her bedroom who had eczema all her life and thought, I've got to do something about this. I can't bear it anymore. So she formulated her own product. And it's oil-based, and it's just a blend of jojoba oils with some essential oils. There's no parabens in it, no preservatives, no perfumes, and it's oil based. And you can put this on before you wash or shower, so you'll use it instead of soap, or you can put it on after, like a barrier cream, almost like a barrier, and it works like magic. I kid you not. One, you know, my kids have had nappy rash or whatever, and one application, it's gone. I would really highly recommend that for just about everything to do with skin. One last question, anybody? Or yes? I don't take my kids to McDonald's, no. But I am imperfect enough to allow them, you know, the occasional bit of nonsense because they're kids, you know. They would go mad otherwise. The interesting thing is they eat meat, even though we don't. When I had my first baby, I thought, well, obviously he'll be a vegetarian as well, because both me and my husband are, although we do eat some fish, but we thought, well, he certainly won't eat meat. The minute he could walk, he actually toddled over to a table at someone's house, you know, saw a sausage and just devoured it like it, so there was no tomorrow. It was, what? You know, he was desperate to tell us he was, you know, needed meat. So, and all the kids eat meat, but we do buy organic meat, and I am a bit anal about that, I have to say. I really do want to know where that's come from. I want a butcher who knows the cows. I really mean that. I think it's hugely important. Sometimes even the word organic isn't enough, by the way. You know, the word organic's become terribly trendy. It's not important that it's organic, in inverted commas, Soil Association accredited. It's important that it doesn't have preservatives. And the two things are not necessarily the same. You can buy an organic apple that's been flown in from Peru or somewhere, and it's only got 25 pesticides rather than the allowed 55. Because organic food is obviously still allowed a percentage of pesticides. The organic food I want is the stuff that I get in my farmer's market, where the woman says to me, my farm is 20 miles from your house. This was picked yesterday, and there's been nothing on this other than the bugs. That's organic, you know. So you do even sometimes have to look at that. So, yeah, the kids are a fairly healthy diet. When they're screaming for treats and nonsense, I buy, in the book I've got a website, I can't remember what it's called, but you can get them in health shops where there's a range called Candy Tree where you can pawn them off with a lolly that's in a nice, like, bright-coloured wrapper, but actually it's corn syrup. So it's still terrible for their teeth, but at least it's not E-numbers and preservatives. My kids, fly. They will actually be flying if they have that kind of bright-coloured sweet stuff. It's quite frightening. And I think we probably have to end. Is there one minuscule, tiny question? Yes. Plastic carry bags. Hate them, hate them, hate them, hate them. Let's start a campaign immediately. hate them. I mean, use them occasionally, you know, like everybody else. But, you know, these bags, these things that I'm lurking around, these jute kind of things are everywhere now. Really easy to get those. You know, yes, I would say let's get rid of them completely. No need for them. If you can walk to your supermarket, have your lovely little shopping basket, which looks really funky. For rucksacks and things, there are now lots of companies, I'm sure you know, who are making recycled bags out of bottles. So that's fantastic. Reduce the bottle mountain, create a bag. How fab is that? I've got an amazing nappy changing bag, which is all made out of recycled bottles. I'm very proud of myself. Almost notching over the lime there. So yeah, absolutely hate them. All packaging, not just plastic bags, drives me insane. If I buy kids' toys, half an hour to get the toy out of the packaging. What's the point of that? You know, makeup. You buy makeup, body shop makeup. I can't get into the eyeliner. I don't need to anymore because I have my chemical-free makeup bag. But, you know, nightmare. Absolute nightmare. So, yes, I agree with you. My book is on sale in the bookshop, apparently, which is right over the other side near the Christian Aid thing, isn't it? And I'm very happy I have to go there now, so I'm very happy to obviously sign copies and meet people. But if you just want to say hello, and I've got a bunch of Radio 2 photos and stuff, which, you know, got to get rid of them somehow. I'd be delighted to meet anybody over there. So please, if you don't do anything else, will you please join my forum? The website doesn't have much going on at the moment, but it will. It's going to be all bells and whistles soon. But the forum is really exciting way of exchanging information. Thanks very much for coming. Thank you.